This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. Last week, in his first report on Ganga, the River Ganges, Julian Crandall-Hollick took us to the river's source in the high Himalayas. In today's episode, he's reached Kanpur, 500 miles downstream. Kanpur, established in 1801 by the British to supply their army in India, is an anomaly. It's an industrial city that lies on the banks of a river that almost everyone else in northern India thinks of as a goddess, and therefore pure, revered, and self-renewing. At Kanpur, the Ganges definitely does not look like a goddess. It is dirty, unappetizing, and synonymous with the pollution that gets in everyone's eyes. 20 years ago, the Indian government began a massive program to clean up the river. But Kanpur offers proof that those efforts have failed, as Julian explains in his second report, titled The Rape of Ganga.
Not many people bathe on the actual bank of Ganga in Kanpur for two reasons. The waterfront is succinctly unappetizing, a mixture of broken concrete, raw sewage, and piles of garbage tossed over garden walls. And the actual rivers swung away to the north, where a few hardy souls are bathing.
Now, why did you come over here as opposed to staying on the bank by Kanpur?
Surendra Kumar Yadav thinks the stream next to the waterfront is just a toxic drain. Even though he believes in the benefits of Ganga Jal, he wouldn't drink from that stream even if he was paid.
So that's why we cross this canal and come and have the bath here.
Surendra launches into the usual litany of grievances. The government should have banned the tanneries from discharging their raw sewage into the river. Brother, if any man is still using Ganga as a drain, we should put a stop to him right here and now, then the problem will be solved. Surendra now says something unusual. Yes, Ganga can clean herself, but only up to a certain extent. We, the public, we're the worst offenders because we dump all our trash into Ganga. If we stopped, then the river would automatically be cleaner. In 1986, Rajiv Gandhi announced a massive Ganga action plan to clean up the entire river. The basic idea made sense: intercept and treat pollution before it's discharged into Ganga. Politicians and engineers in Delhi designed the hardware, sewage treatment plants, but they then expected states and cities to come up with the money to operate and maintain them.
And at that time, they knew that they would not have enough resources to operate and maintain it, right?
Vinod Tare is a professor of environmental engineering at the Indian Institute of Technology in Kanpur.
But still, they went ahead with the idea that, okay, let me have some resources to build this, and that's it.
His colleague, Binayak Ras, says there's another reason specific to Kanpur.
The major problem at Kanpur is there is no participation of the local people in this project. No participation of the municipal authorities from the beginning. No participation of the district administration from the beginning. So at the moment, they have developed an attitude of indifference and callousness. And because of this indifference attitude and callousness, now the project has proved to a failure.
Vinod Tare says to measure the cleanup, those in charge chose complex criteria, which mean absolutely nothing to the ordinary Indian.
Because if I tell to the people I'm treating sewage, I have changed BOD, I have changed DO, it doesn't make any sense to them, right? What makes sense to them is what they see.
Binayak Rao thinks East-West cultural differences also played a role.
There is nothing wrong in the West technology, but that may be relevant in their context. Therefore, what is feasible and what is the best solution in a foreign country should not be considered the best solution in the Indian context.
This flaw's been compounded by a second basic cultural mistake. The plants all rely on a constant supply of electricity, the one thing no one can guarantee in northern India. So when the electricity fails, the plants shut down and raw sewage and heavy metals pour untreated into Ganga. Result, the situation is worse than before and a great deal of money has been wasted. One Sunday morning, Rakesh Jaiswal, a local environmental activist, invites me to come take a look at Kanpur's sewage system in action. We bump down an earthen track towards the river and park near a small whitewashed temple on the edge of Ganga. Beside it is a nala, a small stream. There's a distant roar. We clamber up the bank. A waterfall is tumbling out of the shattered brickwork of the main trunk sewer. The aorta of the entire sewage system has burst. Raw sewage is cascading down into the nala 20 feet below.
And you can see that it has completely failed and now it's going to the river directly, raw sewage.
You mean this is the trunk sewer, the great thing that's supposed to go the whole length of the...
Yeah, means the sewage from the town is being carried through this trunk sewer. Ideally, it should reach the main pumping station and then should go to treatment plants.
The city water department's aware they have a problem, but they say there's nothing they can do. Under the Ganga Action Plan, there's plenty of money to build sewers and treatment plants, but no money for operation and maintenance.
This is just one example of the shortcomings or failure of Ganga Action Plan. You can see dozens of drains carrying raw sewage, which is meeting River Ganga.
A waddle of geese sense something's not quite right. They head down to the water's edge, think better of it. With much vociferous protest, they turn away from the water in search of something rather more appetizing. Just 100 yards downstream of the little temple, another huge pipe is discharging directly into the river.
It's in the Jajmao area, so of course it contains some tender effluent also. Black, viscous and frothy.
Jajmao is home to the tanneries, the city's sewage treatment plant and an important cremation ghat.
Why here? I mean, look how polluted it is. Would you cremate a body here?
R.K. Avasti and K.P. Chon have just unloaded their sister's body. According to Hindu custom, the body should be immersed in Ganga just before the actual cremation.
We have come here, but we are unable to take the water because of this. It's a dirty, very dirty water.
Because you have to immerse her body in the water as well.
That's
so what are you going to do?
That we have to avoid all this, we are bound what to do.
Take the body out in a boat in the clean water?
Perish the thought.
I don't use this.
Yeah.
I take the water from the house and we are giving the bath to the dead body.
K.P. Chan puts it in a nutshell.
To change the custom, it takes time.
But it's already changing. Hinduism can be surprisingly flexible when it needs to be. We continue on to the main sewage treatment plant. The place is totally idle and deserted. The workers have been on strike for 3 months because they haven't been paid.
UP Jal Nigam, the employer or the executing agency of Ganga Action Plan, they say that they do not have funds. They do not have money for operation and maintenance costs. That has to come from the state government.
And like all governments, they don't want to raise taxes to pay for this. Meanwhile, the expensive machinery sits rusting in the sun.
And if it's not revived soon, I think the money will go waste completely.
Tanneries use highly toxic chromium to tan or soften buffalo hides. The new sewage treatment plant was supposed to remove this heavy metal. For a whole variety of reasons, it couldn't and it didn't, with terrible consequences for the nearby village of Motipur.
You know, before Ganga Action Plan, the sewage was mixed in 50% ratio with the Ganga waters. At that time, there was no tannery effluent. So the condition was far better, and the productivity was also very high.
Mohammed Awais is the son of a tannery owner.
But after Ganga Action Plan, they stopped supplying the Ganga water. The sewage water is mixed with the tannery effluent. So the condition started changing since then.
And since the toxic chromium has not been removed, many villagers suffer from skin ailments, and at least one has contracted leprosy since the changeover. Their fields produce a tenth of their previous crop, buffaloes half their normal yield of milk. Many buffaloes are either aborting or dying, but what is far worse, Motipur supplies Kanpur with much of its milk and vegetables. Owais says it's a heinous crime, especially as the city sells the villagers this contaminated water.
First thing, they are consuming the entire sewage of the city. They are consuming the toxicants of the tanneries, and then they are charged.
New technologies may be able to neutralize the toxic metals in the ground, but the damage has been done, and no one really seems to care. Vinod Tari has an alternative to the massive and misguided engineering of the Ganga Action Plan.
We are talking about making a tank which will retain the sewage for about 3 hours or so. That is all the idea is. If you just have simple settling basins, that would have removed 40 to 50% of the load.
So the total amount going to the sewage treatment plants would already be 50% less.
And that would not have required extensive mechanization, pumping and so on. And that should have been built not at one place, but should have been distributed all along.
Decentralized to several different sections of the city.
And was this ever considered?
No, it was not considered.
Vinod thinks probably far cheaper, far more popular, and far more politically effective than all the interceptors, treatment plants, and other complicated solutions beloved of engineers. He may be right. But in the real world of the 21st century, Rakesh Chaiswal's very discouraged.
Total wastage of funds. Ganga Action Plan is a complete failure. You can say that neither it has been Ganga-friendly nor people's-friendly.
Rakesh is also depressed by the ignorance of so many residents. Take Mittal Lal. Mittal Lal's family have been dhobis or washermen for as long as he can remember. A dhobi washes, rinses and beats the hell out of his customers' clothes on large stones set into the river. Does Mittal Lal think washing powder is harmful to Ganga?
Yes, it's good for Ganga.
Why is it good for Ganga?
The germs in the water, you know, it will finish, you know, if we use this detergent, you know.
Oh, so you're killing the germs?
Yeah.
But do you think the soap does any harm to Ganga?
Mittal Lal says washing powder doesn't just kill germs. It also bleaches the water.
What's this blue one?
Yeah. Mittal Lal shows me a shallow basin full of a purple liquid, actually a popular fabric whitener.
This bleaching powder and this indigo thing, you know, it is actually cleaning this water.
One final question.
Mittal Lal, do you think Ganga is a clean river?
Of course. Ganga is by definition pure, therefore clothes washed in it will also be pure. Detergent merely cleans the physical water. In Kanpur, I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick.
The Rape of Ganga was edited and produced by Tina Morris and Fernando Ruiz del Prado. The interpreter was Raja Chatterjee. Julian's account of the whole trip, Ganga, A Journey Down the River Ganges, has just been published by Island Press. If you'd like to learn more about Julian's five-month sojourn, go to our website at npr.org. Next week, Julian travels through the sacred heartland of India.
Ganga is made possible with a major grant from the National Science Foundation.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.